Gemara brought down a brisa to show that Rapapa retracted his view, and that which the brisa discussed the possibility of learning that Me'ilah should be potter when it's done b'mezid. You shouldn't have to bring a carbon chatas, because a carbon chatas is never brought when it's very done b'mezid. But the Gemara says that we can learn it from the fact that his karis is more stringent than misa b'dei shemayim, and then the Gemara says, well, maybe misa b'dei shemayim is more stringent than karis. Or Nachum Yitzchak asked that the brisa seems to be soicer itself in that way. The Gemara brings two additional answers to this question. Marler, the son of Ravona, said the brisa actually means to say that Me'ilah can't be learned from other averis, because by the other averis, an unintentional act does not get the status of an intentional one. For example, if on Shabbos someone intends to cut a fruit detached from the ground, and by mistake cuts a fruit that's still attached to the ground, he'd be potter. By Me'ilah, an unintentional act does get the status of an intentional one. For example, if someone carves himself with material that he thinks doesn't belong to Hegdish, and in fact it does, he's chayiv. That's why a pasuk is needed to teach it. An intentional act of benefiting from Hegdish will not be chayiv as Me'ilah. It won't be no carbon, then we wouldn't be able to learn it from regular chatas. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said the Braisa actually meant to say that Me'ilah can't be learned from other Averis, because by the other Averis, someone who's preoccupied, he's Mis'asek, doing a different act altogether, he won't be Chayiv if he mistakenly does a forbidden act. For example, if someone on Shabbos intends to lift a fruit that's detached from the ground, a mistake, he cuts one that's still attached to the ground, he's potter. By Me'ilah, he'd be Chayiv in such a case. For example, if he sticks out his hand to take a keli and his hand gets smeared with oil of Hegdish, he's Chayiv. That's why a pasuk is needed to teach, and an intentional act of benefiting from Hegdish will not be Chayiv by carbon by Me'ilah, and we can't learn that from a regular chatas. I think Mara brought down a brisa that said that the only way chametz can get the status of truma on Pesach is if the produce was separated as truma before it was chametz, and then it became chametz. However, if someone separates truma from chametz on Pesach, it was already chametz when he separates it, it doesn't get the status of truma to begin with. Where do we know this from? Fact, Gemara, Nachum Yitzchak said, the pasuk says, titain loy, you have to give the truma to him, the kayim, which teaches that you can't give him something that he can only use la'oyrei, meaning to be burned. It has to actually be given to him in a way that he can use it, and therefore chametz on Pesach wouldn't become truma. Rav Huna, the son of Rabbi Shua, asked, the Mishnah says that one may not separate truma from tamei produce for produce that is tar, but if it was done b'shoyeg, it gets the status of truma. According to what was just said, it shouldn't be, because that's only la'oyrei, the tamei dika truma. Mara says, when dealing with truma, since the produce was fit to be truma at one point before it became tamei, meaning, and so it gets a truma status, but the chametz on Pesach was never fit to become truma, and therefore it doesn't even get the status of truma at all. In fact, Mara, if you're saying that it was never fit to become truma, that means it had to become chametz while it was still attached to the ground, but if it was detached before becoming chametz, it seems that it would become truma. The Mishnah is talking only about the unusual case where something became chametz while still attached to the ground. So Nachum Yitzchak said, yeah, that's what the case is. That's the case, and the other rabbanon have agreed with me. That's what he said. Rav Huna, the son of Yeshua, said the Mishnah is even discussing whether the produce became chametz after being detached from the ground. The reason it doesn't get truma status is because the pasuk discussing truma says rachis, which means that the produce remaining after the truma is taken has to be permitted for a Yisrael to eat, or anybody to eat. And here it's not, because it's chametz, and therefore the separated produce does not get the truma status. Rav Acha bar Rav Avya sat before Rav Chista and said, Rav Yechanan said that grapes that became tamei should be pressed so that less than an egg size amount of juice comes out at a time, and then this wine will not become tamei, and they can even be used on a mizbeach. So Gemara must be that Rav Yechanan holds that the juice is considered a separate entity than the grape, that is meaning it's just held in the grape. Therefore, it doesn't become tamei along with the grape. It would only become tamei when it's squeezed out. Since it's being squeezed out less than the size of a beya, it doesn't become tamei then either. Why does it need to be less than the size of an egg? Even if it's exactly the size of the egg, the same halacha should apply. We find that the Mishnah says that tamei mace that squeezed juice in an amount equal to an egg, the juice is still tar. The Mara says the Mishnah is talking about after the squeezing was already done, but the evid, and therefore it's allowed. Our brisa over here is talking about the chatchila, and we don't allow the chatchila as a gzeira that you may end up squeezing a little bit more. Therefore, the chatchila, we don't even allow the exact amount of an egg. We make you do a little bit less. Rav Chista said Rabbi Yechon is not correct, and the wine of the grapes retain tumah status upon being squeezed. Rav Chista must hold up tomorrow that the juice is absorbed in and therefore part of the grape, and therefore becomes tummy along with the grape. Rav Acha bar Avya asked, we have the Mishnah that says that if the tummy may squeeze only an egg-sized amount of the juice is tar, this shows that it must be that the juice is a separate entity than the grape itself. Rav Chista said, the Mishnah is discussing grapes that were not mushal kabal tumah until the juice was squeezed, and since the juice is less than the size of an egg, it can't become tummy. Rav Chista brings a proof from the brisa brought down earlier in the Gemara, where Rabbi Akiva said that the juice of grapes and berries have no use when the fruits are tummy. Why can't they just be squeezed out less than the size of an egg at a time? It must be that the juice becomes tummy along with the fruit. Rava said it may be that the juice is truly not tummy. The reason Rabbi Akiva says that there's no use is because we don't allow the kayin to squeeze the juice, because we're concerned that it may lead him to eat the actual tummy fruit as well. And therefore, we don't allow the juice. Abaye asked, A brisa allows the fueling of a fire with tamei bread and oil of truma. We see that we're not concerned that he may come to eat from them. The Mara said the bread is thrown among the dirty wood, and therefore he's not going to eat it. The oil is put into disgusting kalim, and therefore also you're not afraid that he's going to eat it. That's why in those cases it's mutter. But in other cases, there is this chashash that if we allow him to use it for the juice, he may come to eat the actual fruit, and therefore we would not allow it as a gzera. So this brisa that was just quoted allowed the fueling of fire with tamei bread and oil of truma. Abaye in the name of Chizkiah said this allowance is limited to bread, which becomes disgusting when you put it into the wood. However, kernels of wheat would not be allowed in that way, because you may come to eat them, because they don't get disgusting just because you put them sort of within the wood. Rabbi Yochanan says no, even kernels of wheat could be used for the fire. The Gemara says this is limited to kernels of wheat that were first cooked, and therefore also would become disgusting when thrown among the firewood. But Echanami, dry kernels of wheat that would not become disgusting when put among the firewood, they would not be allowed to be burned by the Kohen Allah, you know, and kept them burned with him, because he may come to then eat them.